Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Baba Basra Samach Tes. We begin right on top at the first line, Gemara. My Avonim. So the Mishnah mentioned that when one sells a field, what is included? The Avonim, Shehein Letzarka, stones which serve the sada, serve the farm. What does that mean? How do stones serve a field? My Avonim is Shehein Letzarka. Hacha Targimu. Here in Bavel, it was defined as follows. Avnei de'akpa. Big stones which are placed atop the bundles of grain to keep them from flying away. Like paperweights. Avnei de'akpa. Ula Amar, he says it means avanim asturos together. Stones which were set up, lined up, piled up to be used for fence construction around the field. So we have two definitions of avanim shein letzarka, either paperweights or construction materials. So stones delivered in anticipation of a fence job. Asks the Gemara, how can Ula say that avanim hasaduros is required? Which means that the stones were neatly lined up, a neat pile, a neat row, which makes it easy to use for construction. Why is that required? V'hatanu Reb Chiya tells us, you don't need them neatly lined up, as long as they've been delivered, even in a pile, even a random pile is enough to be considered part and parcel of the field entity. V'hatanu Reb Chiya avanim tziburis legeder, even a gathering of stones are included in the sada sale, even without being neatly lined up, which would indicate that it's intended for construction. Let's revise it instead of tziburos, siduros, that indeed they must be lined up neatly, which indicate that they're they're intended for local use, for a construction of a fence to aid the sada. Continues the Gemara. Hocha targimu avni de'akpa. Okay, so now the Rashbam makes a point based on a Mishnah later. The Gemara later in the Ayin Ches tells us that there's a machlekes between Reb Meir, who contends that more is included. You sell a field, you include more items than the Chachamim would include. So the Chachamim hold one notch less than Reb Meir. They include less items in the field sale than Reb Meir would. So basically, as Rashbam explains, all these accessories discussed in the Mishnah, which would be included, let's say. So according to Reb Meir, you need less. Less is required. Less indication. Less conditions are required. But according to Reb Meir, the default position is that more. He broadens the package. More is included than less. Right? So according to him, you don't need that much to have it included. Okay? We'll see examples in a minute. But basically, that's the idea. According to Reb Meir, you include more than the Rabbanim. So back to our story with the stones, which the Mishnah does include, right? Does consider to be part of the package. So according to Reb Meir, less is required, meaning it's easier to include it than the Rabbanim. But let's see. Hacha targimu avne de'akpa. So according to the version, the local Bavel version, that the Avanim Shem Letzarka, are those heavy stones used as paperweights, as bundle weights, the Reb Meir, so according to Reb Meir, the Masaknam, as long as they were prepared, designated for this use, Afakav Loi Machton, even though they have not yet been delivered into the Sada. Listen to this, Rashbam says, even if they're still sitting outside the Sada, but if they're earmarked for that purpose, they're designated for the Sada use, according to Rav Meir, it's included in the sale. But L'Rabbanan, who provided, it only works, who demachtan, if they're actually placed, if they're situated in the field. So again, the point is, according to Rabbanan, you need more than Rav Meir in order for it to be considered part of the package. So that's pertaining to the view that Avonim are these heavy stones. But according to Ula, the Amar Avonim Hasduris Legadar, according to him, that the Avonim are speaking of construction material. So once again, we have to differentiate. Rav Meir, the Mesaknon, Afgav Lo Sidron. According to Rav Meir, it is sufficient if they were designated, right? Even though they're not yet lined up neatly in the field. So maybe even if they're outside the field, that's enough. Even if they're not perfectly ready for construction, that is sufficient to consider them part of the package. However, L'Rabbanan, who the Sidron, but contra Rabbanan, it only works if they're lined up in the Sada right there, ready for construction. Okay, so bottom line is, the Mishnah says, you sell a field, what's included? Avonim shein letzarka. What are these stones? We have two pshatim. Heavy stones used to weigh down the bundles, keep them from flying away. Now, according to Rav Meir, it would be enough to designate them for this purpose. According to the Rabbanan, you need them situated in the field itself to be considered part of the package. Whereas according to Ula, we're speaking about construction material, stones which are designated for Gadar, for fence building. And once again, according to Rav Meir, designation is enough. According to the Chachamim, they have to be situated and nicely, neatly lined up in the field, ready for construction. It would appear from the Rashbam that perhaps, according to Rav Meir, they don't even need to be in the field, because all you need is designation and as the Gemara said before, tzivurais, right? They're just piled up. Even if they're outside the field, designation considers them to be part of that field package. And the Mishnah continues, v'sakonim shebekerem shem letzarkoi. So you have these sticks, these poles, which are typically placed beneath the, to support the vines in your vineyard. They're also included in that sale. Konim ma'vedetayu. Okay, so the Gemara first asked the obvious kasha, which is, what's the purpose of these konim? How are they serving the vineyard? And the Rishbam explains, the Gemara figured at this point that the konim are speaking about, reeds growing out of the ground, not, loose sticks used to support. What are these reeds coming out of the ground? How are they serving? How are they benefiting the vineyard? Answers the Gemara, Amri dvei Rabbi Yanai, the answer is konim hamchulakin. We're speaking about these smooth sticks, shemamidim tachzakfanim, placed beneath the vines for support. And once again, we have that distinction between Rav Meir and the Rabbanim. The Rav Meir, according to Rav Meir, less is needed. The Meshapian, even if they're just smooth, afgad le'moikman, even though they haven't yet been planted and, inserted into the ground, that's enough, because they're clearly meant for this purpose. The Rabbanan, who the Mukman, according to Rabbanan, you need to be planted, stuck in the ground, in their places, beneath the vines, which would make them part of the vine package. Vesatvua mechberes lekarka. The Mishnah says you include also grain which is still on the ground. Va'afgav de matoy lemichtza. The chiddush is, even though they're ready for harvesting, but since are still attached, they're connected. They're included. Veschitzas akonim shebchusim beis roiva. You have this clump of growing reeds which take up less than a roiva hakav of space in the field. They're included. Va'afgav dalim, even though they're big and thick and substantial, but since the total area coverage is insignificant, they're just included in the package. Veshashemira she'ena asui betit. You have this guardhouse which has not yet been cemented, so it was loosely constructed without cement. Ve'afagav le'kvia ba'ar. So the chiddush is that even though it's not really attached to the ground, it's still included in the sada deal. Veshachorav she'ena murka. Veshbesos hashikma. So these young carob or shikma trees are included. Afagav dalimi, even though they're nice and big and chunky, but since they're still young, they're considered insignificant, and they are included in the deal. Mishnah continues that regarding stones which are just happen to be sitting there, are randomly found in the area, are not letzarech the sada, they're not included. Now, when we say they're not letzarka, this is in contrast to the resha, the first part of the Mishnah, which referred to avarim that are letzarka. So once again, we have to sort of line it up according to Rav Meir's opinion, according to Rabbanon's opinion. So, according to Rav Meir, which stones were included? The ones that were designated. So here, why are they not included? Because they were not designated. The Rabbanon, the Loi Masakon, they weren't designated for this purpose, in which case, they're not included in the Mechira. Whereas, the Rabbanon, according to the Rabbanon, required more than Rav Meir initially. It needed to be designated and stacked in the field. So the halacha here, which indicates that they're not included because they're not letzarech, is lacking one of those conditions. L'rabban le'machton. If they're not placed in the field, they're not lined up on the field, that is sufficient to consider them out of the deal. So that's if you work with the first definition of avanam letzarecha, which was... Sorry. According to the first version, let's just go back a second. According to the first version, that the avanim are referring to paperweight, right, the bundle weights. So the Rameir, let's just go back. Rameir lemesakna. According to Rameir, in the seifa, in the second part of the mission, the reason why they're not included in the mechira is because we're speaking that they were not designated for this purpose. They're just random stones. The rabbanon lemachta. According to rabbanon, who initially said that the only way these heavy stones would be included is if they're actually sitting on the bundles. So in this case, they're missing that condition. They're not sitting on the bundles, le'machton, and therefore they're not included. Now, ula, the Amar Avanim Hasturus Lagadar, according to Ula's definition of Avanim Litzarka, that was speaking about construction material, stones designated for fence building. So once again, how do we explain why in the second part of the Mishnah they were not included? Because they're lacking somewhat in their, you know, designation. According to Rav Meir, who initially required it to be designated, that's all he needed, designation is sufficient. So here, it was not designated, and therefore, it's not included. According to Rabbanon, who required designation plus placement, it had to be nicely stacked in the field. So as long as it's missing one of those conditions, if it's not stacked in the field, the Loi Sadron, right, if it's not stacked in the field, then it's not included. Okay, let's just clarify again. So the Mishnah discussed two types of stones. Avanam letzarka is included. Avanam she'enam letzarka, not included. We have two definitions of the word letzarka. Either heavy stones meant to keep the bundles in place, or stones designated for future fence construction around the field. Now, we explained that according to Rav Meir, less is needed, right, in order for the item to qualify and be included in the deal. According to Rabban, more is needed. So now let's break it down. In the ratio we discussed, stones which are included. So according to the pshat, that the stones are the stones that weigh down the bundles. According to Rameir, designation is enough. According to Rabbanon, it needs to be placed in its right place, holding down those bundles to be included. In the seifa, where they're not included, that's because according to Rameir, either according to Rameir because it was not designated for this purpose, or according to Rabbanon because they weren't placed, they were not found on the bundles. Pshat number two in these stones is Ula's pshat, Avanam Hasturis Lagad, they're meant for fence building. So according to Rameir, it works because it's designated for this purpose. According to Rabbanon, they need to be stacked up, lined up for this purpose. And that's why they're included. And now in the Seifa, when they're not included, it's either because, according to Rameir, they were never misakna, they weren't designated for this, according to the Rabbanon, because they were not stacked in their place. Okay. Mishnah continues. You have a clump of reeds growing out of the ground. You have these kanam, these sticks, that are not serving any local purpose. They're not included. So once again, which way are they lacking? Depends. According to Rameir, or according to Rabbanon, the Rav Meir, the Lema Shapya. According to Rav Meir, the precondition was smooth, sanded, right? And here they're not. So they don't work. they're not included. The Rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, for them to be included, you need A, sanded, number two, placed in the right spot, right, in the ground. Here, if it's lacking one or the other, so even though they've been shaped, they've been formed, they've been sanded, but if they're loimukman, they weren't placed firmly in the ground, they're not included. Nor do you include grain which had already been cut off the ground. The chiddush here is, even though the Rashbam explains, the farmers would leave their grain lying on the field for a while for it to sort of air out and to dry up. So even though it's still using the ara, it still needs the farm. It's still sitting there for a purpose. Nevertheless, it's already been disconnected, detached, and not included when you sell the field. You have this larger area filled with reeds, they're not included in the sale. But afak of the ktini, the chiddush is, even though they're small and flimsy, but if they cover a large area, they're considered a separate entity. This doesn't just apply to the reeds. Even if you have a very small patch of spices, v'yeshlo shem b'fnei atzma, and it has its own unique name. Oh, you know, the cinnamon patch. Einon mekeres ima, that too is not included in the sadeh. Amra papa v'hu, that's only provided. The korilo varda de planya, people give it a special name. Oh, this is Yankel's, spice patch. Arugas haboisim, varda is typically a rose. Okay, just an example, right? So it has to have its own, unique identity. Then we say it's a separate entity. Mishnah says, if you have a properly constructed guardhouse, a cemented guardhouse, then it's not included in the Mechiras HaSoteh. Even though it's attached to the ground, you would think it's part and parcel of the property. No, it's a separate booth. It's not included. These mature trees are not included, even though they're small in size, but they're old and mature, they're not included. But Rabbi Elazar, here comes a new question. Let's shift from a farm sale to a home sale. Mal b'nois shel psachim, you have these trims around the door frames, right? So these door frames of the home, mal, what is the halach? Because you can have a door without the frame, right? So is it included in the mechiras habayis? When you sell a bayis, are these mal b'nois included? Now, hecha the mechaber betina, where they're actually cemented in, like tiboylech, there's no question, the mechaber, if it's connected, it's one with the house, it's included. Ki tiboylech, the question applies where it's the nikita besichi, it's just being held in there by pegs, which can be just pulled out. Mai, is it included or not? Take it, we leave it unresolved. By Reb Zera, it comes a new shaila. What about trim around a window? Mal b'nei shulchan loynis mal, these door frames, these window frames. Mi amrina l'noi ba'amo David, do we say they're just there for aesthetic design purposes? So it's not really part of the home entity, and you can take it with you when you sell the home. Idilma, kiva the machabri machabri. On the other hand, well, since they're connected, so assuming, the Rashbam explains, assuming in the previous question with the door frame, that connection, even with sichi, with pegs, with nails, is enough to be considered part of the same entity. So here as well, but the balbeinu shel chaloinos, which are attached in the same manner, do we say, they're just there for beauty purposes, and therefore you can take that with you? Oidilma, kibbutz the mechaber, once it's connected, even with pegs or with nails, mechaber, it's considered a proper connection, and it fuses with the home, and is included in the mechiras habayis, take it, we leave it, unresolved. But Rabbi Yirmiya, one final question, mal b'nei shel kari amita mal. So they used to place this, like this little wooden sort of structure beneath, upon which the bed would sit. So the wood was there to protect the legs of the bed from the moisture of the soil beneath. So what about those mal b'neis? Mal b'nei shel kari amita mal. What about these sticks, these things that are beneath the kari amita, the legs of the bed? So here the Rashbam explains, they're typically not connected to the bed. So when you sell a bed, does this thing come along? Is it included in the package? Mao, kolech the metavli bado lo tiboylo. There's no question. If in fact these malbeinois, if this wood is actually connected to the bed and comes along with it, of course there's no question. It's part of the bed. You sell the bed, it goes along. To metavli, because it goes along with the bed. The question is, the question is if it's not connected to the bed, the separate piece. My, is it included or not? Take it, we leave it unresolved. The Mishnah continues, V'loyos chareva amurka, v'loyos sadana shikma v'chulu. When you sell a field, although typically the trees within the field are included, but not these prominent entities, the chareva and the shikma, right? Menahan emili, how do we know this is true? How do we know that these aren't excluded? Amar Avida Marav, we learn actually from the transaction that took place between Avram Avinu and Ephraim. Listen to this. Amar Avida Marav, the Amar Kro, the Pasuk, by the sale of the Maris of Machpelah, specifies like this. Vayokum stay Ephraim, Asher b'Machpelah. I'll just read the entire Pasuk. Vayokum stay Ephraim, Asher b'Machpelah, Asher lefnei Mamri, Hasoda. So all of it was transferred to Avram Avinu. Hasoda, right, the field itself. Vamar Asher b'Yan, and the cave within it. V'chala itz Asher b'Hasoda. And all the trees found in this field as well, Asher b'chol gevuloi saviv. So we're going to focus on the last part of the pasuk. Asher b'chol gevuloi saviv. So all these trees that were found within the boundaries. So we learn from here that only, you know, insignificant, non-notable trees, non-prominent entities are included. Misha tzarech l'gvul saviv. Only those elements which, in order to identify them, you need to cite the boundary. Oh yeah, those trees, because they're within the boundary, of course they belong to Avram Avinu. So insignificant entities can only be identified, right? Typically only identified by their boundaries. Right? They're within the boundary, they belong to you. So those are subordinate to the sada, they're bottled to the sada, and included when you buy the field, as opposed to prominent features, prominent entities, like this, Charuf, Murkov, and Sadan HaShikma, these are notable entities. Yotzu Eglo, as opposed to these prominent trees, Shein Tzrichim L'Gvul Savet. You don't need to cite the boundary in order to identify the owner. Everybody knows, oh, those, fancy trees, of course they're Yankel's trees. They're not identified by their boundaries. They are considered separate, independent entities, and when you sell a field, unless you specify, they're not going to be included. Amar Misharshia, here comes another point. Saviv. So the word Saviv starts the next point. Saviv. Why does the pasuk add the word Saviv, right? It says, Asher b'chol gvuloi Saviv, surrounding. What does that mean? Amar Misharshia. We learn an interesting halacha from here. Mikan, we learn from here. Lemeitzarim. L'metzarim in atero. So metzar, as we learned many times in this parak, previous parak, I should say, metzarim are these boundaries, right? So they're not just a fence, it's just like a, it's like an access path, which is a bit raised off the ground, which guards the field, which surrounds the field. It's a tangible, boundary. So when one sells a field, what about the metzarim? What about the metzar? Is that included? We learn from this pasuk that it is included. But that's why it says, saviv, asher b'chol gvuloi saviv. The Meitzar surrounding the field is included as well. It's part and parcel of the same field. Amar Yehuda, Haiman de Mazben Ar L'Chavrei. Says Rabbi Yehuda, let's give a person some good advice. You sell a field, you sell a property, specify it all in a way which avoids any misunderstanding and any ambiguity. Tzorach L'michtav Leit, preferably you should write for him like this. I'm selling you the mature palm trees within the field. V'talan, and the young ones. V'hutzin, v'tzitzin. And all these different types of palms, everything is yours. Okay, that's the best way to do it. Although if he omitted mention of all these specifications, of course the fellow is koine at all. Like we said before, the trees within a field come along. Afilu hachi still shufra the shtaru. It's the better way of making a shtar to avoid any confusion down the road. Now let's say we have all kinds of cases coming up where he specified certain things, and we're going to explore as to the meaning of each phrase. Amrle, let's say Reuven, the seller, approaches his buyer and he says like this, Ara vidikli, I'm selling you karka, ara means a karka, a property, a field, vidikli plus palms. So we learn that we interpret it as two separate sales. So although the property happened to be full of palms, it doesn't matter. He has to add more palms, because that's what he said. A field plus. Arava dikli. Chazina, we take a look. E islay dikli. If the fellow happens to own palms outside that field, you have late trade dikli. He has to give him at least two. That's plural, right? Dikli is two. Be less late. If he doesn't have, aside from this farm, Yezorven late trade dikli has to purchase for him another two palms, as promised. Vimashavdi, let's say he has palms outside the field, but they're bound, they're committed. They're meshubah to a lender. Perkli late dikli, he has to redeem two of them and give it to the buyer. Now let's say he says arabidikli. Not vidikli, in addition, but rather arabidikli. A field with palms. Okay, so chazina, we take a look. Isbedikli, if there are palms on the field, yovli, he gives it to him. Vilav, but if they're not there, mekechto, so it's a mistaken transaction. You told me a palm field, and it's not so. What if he says, all right, so mekechto, what if he says, arabedikli, a field bedikli, a property bedikli, what does bedikli mean? Lesle dikli. Now, we found no palms in the field. Does that cancel the deal? No. The chazil adikli ka'amrali. When he said bedikli, he meant this soil, this property is perfect for a potential palm field. Okay? But there are no palms there currently. Amrali levar medikli planya. Now let's say he sells in the field and it's all included except for this specific palm tree. What did he mean? Just to exclude that one or more. Chazina, we take a close look. Itikla tavu, if it's a relatively good quality tree, shiur shari. So all he meant to do was to exclude that tree and everything else is included. Itikla bishahu, but let's say it's an inferior quality tree, not really high yielding palm tree. So we assume kolshkein hanach. When he said except for this, he meant of course to exclude the better ones as well. Even this one I'm leaving out. Even that shvach one I'm leaving out. Even that weak one. But of course, I meant to exclude the good ones as well. And they're not included in the deal. Now, amrli levar milani. Suppose he tells him, look, I'm selling you the sada and excluding the ilani, the ilanis. Ilanis typically mean, you know, trees, fruit trees, right? I isle ilani. So, if in fact there are these ilanis, these fruit trees or whatever sitting in the field, levar milani. Okay, so you meant to exclude those. Fine, pretty simple. Isle dikli. Now let's say, right, so basically what we're saying is that only the ilanis are excluded, but not the palm trees. Palm trees are not referred to as ilani. Likewise, vines. Vines are not included in the word ilani. So if there are vines and palms, they're all included in the deal, just the ilanis are excluded. That's only if he has ilanis. But let's say he said, right, I'm selling you the field aside from the ilanis, and he has no ilanis. Isle dikli, but he has palm trees. So we assume that although he used the word ilanis, he wasn't being exact, he meant palm trees. And they're excluded. Isle gufni. But let's say he only has vines. Levarmi gufni. That's what he meant to exclude, even though he wasn't really precise in his terms. But the fact is, we assume that's what he meant, because that's all he has in the field. Now let's say he has a mix between ilani and gufni. Right, again, he said, I'm selling you the property aside from the ilani. And he has fruit trees and vines. So what did he mean? Levarmi ilani. We assume he meant to exclude the regular trees and not the vines, which are typically not referred to with the word ilani. What if he has ilani vidikli? He has fruit trees and palm trees. So again, what he meant to say was levarmi ilani, to leave out the fruit trees, but the palm trees are included. But now comes a tricky question. Gufni vidikli. It's yours, aside from the ilani, but he only has vines and palms, which are typically not referred to with the word ilani. So what do he mean? Levar mi gufne. In this case, we exclude the vines, which are sometimes referred to as ilani. So relative to palms, we say vines are more likely to be labeled as ilani, and that's what he meant to exclude. Amar Rav, so Rav tells us, even though a person left out the trees, but it doesn't mean every little, tree there. Kol sho'in lebichevel. Only a significantly sized, a real mature palm tree, which requires roping up the tree to get your fruit. Havishir, that's left out of the deal. Kol she'en lo ein oid le b'chevel. Havishir, but if it's a small enough, tree, which does not require roping up, that's insignificant, and that's not what he meant to leave out. That's Rav's opinion. V'dayone goyla, Amri, but the dayone goyla, and Rashbam brings, it's a reference to Shmuel v'Karno. So these two Amirayim, they disagree. Amri, they say that the determinant factor is a bit different. Kol sha'il kaifshef is a small, flimsy tree, to the point that when the animal comes by with its yoke, right, it sort of captures. Kaifshef means captures a tree, because the tree sort of bends down, gets out of the way. It's not a formidable you know, a mature, stiff tree. It's a flimsy tree. So in that case, Lev Ishir, that's not what he meant to leave out. He doesn't care much about this flimsy tree. Of course, it's included in the package. But Kol She'eino Il Kavshe, if it's a strong, stiff, upright tree, which doesn't just, you know, it's not a flimsy tree, so then have a shear, then he meant to leave that off the deal because it has substance, it has chashivas. Now, it would seem like a machlekes. Karams gives us a different criterion. He says it has to do with requiring a rope to get up there. Says the Gemara, actually, it's not machlekes, they're speaking about different trees. Habitically, Rab was referring to palm trees, and therefore he set that as the factor. Habilani, Shmuel was speaking about other types of trees, which typically don't require roping, right? So there, the litmus test is ha'oy l'kayushay. Okay, let's briefly recap today's daf. We discussed a fellow, we made reference to the Mishnah where a fellow sold a sada. What's included? Avonim l'tzarka. We have two definitions, and we have Rameir's approach to things and Rabbanim's approach to things. Rameir's less strict than the Rabbanim, less requirements. So the Avonim l'tzarka are included, the Kanim l'tzarka, the Tzvua, Mechuberes Lekarka, the Chitzas HaKanam, which is small in area, we have the Shemera, which is not cemented in, etc., etc. We discussed a couple of questions regarding home sales and bed sales, regarding frames and trims. We actually brought a raya from Avraham Avinu, that typically a tree would be included in a sada, except if it has its own identity, and likewise, the Mitzarim are included as well. We had Rav Yudah's advice regarding enhancing the terminology in a shtar to make it unambiguous, and we have the fellow with all kinds of stipulations. He's leaving out the ilonim, he's leaving out this and that, and we figure out what to do with each case. We also have the fellow who promised the Arabidically, and each one has its own halacha, and then we concluded with a way to define, to determine what's considered a significantly sized tree and what's not. All the best to you on Hatzlacha Rabbah.